you, are there any other things about the hospital that I didn't ask you that you want to say?
Oh, he asked me a lot.
Yeah, I did, and I don't know what else to ask, but in case I'm missing something.
Well, the flood, I don't know what year it was, St. Patrick's Day flood, if you want to ask me about that.
You told me the last time
I think I told you a good bit about it.
How did it affect the hospital?
Well, they were very generous with the hospital. We got all our emergency foods because we emergency, and we were, the only thing is they had laid off as much as they could. They didn't give us a whole lot, but they had laid off. And after the first night she didn't have it.
Yeah.
But after that, they resumed most of the services, mm-hmm. you know, that they could. And I tell you, you could make it, it only came up to the library, which was on 22nd Street. We didn't, it didn't come in our building at all.
Oh, wow.
We had a lot of more private floods in the hospital.
Within the building?
Within the building. And I remember one record room, it was terrible, down in the basement. But and then we had a safe. It was in the back office. And the people, when they used the bathroom on the second floor, it would flood our safe. And if you talk about stuff, oh, in that safe, it would rain. In fact, it got so bad that I put an umbrella in the safe and left it up there. It helped a little bit because it helped to get the first. But every time, then we had a section in there. You see them in these hotels with people's private, like little push-down things, you know, in a safe. People's mail.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And we'd have to clean that up because it always gave that a shower. Well, this happened about three times a year. It used to be so provoking, you know. Of course, it helped you clean the safe out once in a while. Well, that was the flood.
Did you ever lose any records that way because of the...
No, because I was down there to see that. Oh, no. Oh, no. I was here. The one that we had in the basement was the closest to it, but we had steel records at that time. I mean, steel cabinets. Uh-huh. And they didn't get it. Might have got to the edge of the few records, but we didn't have any trouble, that much trouble. I was there to check on it, you know, to see that they would mop that place first and got that place up. That was the sewerage. There's different things that happened when it went up one day. And then a fire. I went out one day, though, at the elevators. We didn't have any doors. We had an iron door and a protecting door on the elevator, but it was on the elevator seat. Well, then I went out one day and saw the flame shooting right up the elevator shaft. But I didn't do anything. They said you were supposed to call a fire department. The fire department was next door. I told somebody who went out to get the fireman, and he came in. I know that I wouldn't call them. Well, then they stopped that later. You were supposed to go down the corner. Well, now, and you'd pass the fire department and go down the corner.
Why couldn't you call them from inside the building?
Well, you were supposed to, but you'd... change. If somebody running, you'd get them next door quicker than you could get an operator, you know.
Oh, I see.
Then we used to have the poor, you talk about the poor, during the Depression, they sat down in the emergency benches. And they'd spill coffee, we'd go, gave them coffee and sandwiches. But that would often be out to the front door almost.
The line?
The line. Mm-hmm. And another thing, I want to get in there. Mm-hmm. that we had four wards on each floor. I mean, two on each floor meant four. One on each side of the end of the hall at the alley entrance, I would say. It had 8 to 10 beds, and we had all the miners and their families. And with the Pittsburgh Terminal Coal, we got paid for them, but sometimes we didn't get paid for their families.
What was the company called?
Pittsburgh Terminal Coal Corporation. And they had Mine 8, Mine 6, and Mine 9, and they're covered by Castle Shannon, Coverdale was one. What's the other one, the common one? And they're all residential sections now.
Mm-hmm.
So people want to know what they're called. Mine now, Avella.
Okay.
I knew there was another one, Avella. And now we had all those miners. And the coal, the coal would often be washed off the miners. And Miss Cotter had big wash rags, that big, 12-inch square wash rags. And boy, did she clean his miners up well.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in. Now Jones and Laughlin Steel Company
yeah.
were there. Well, I think in the very, very first part, I wasn't there then, when we got some of them. But when I was there, we got the eye cases. Eye cases came to us, and the surgical went up to the south side.
The eye cases from Jones and Laughlin.
Uh-huh. The eye
mm-hmm.
cases came to us. So, let me see, that was a Pittsburgh truck. And at one time they had something, they gave cancer, injections for cancer. The people used to come from Ohio. I don't know whether that was any good or not, but the people had faith in it anyway.
Who gave the injections?
Dr. Kerr and the pathologist. JT was there. I don't know whether she gave any injections. I never went in when she went in.
Dr. Kerr, wasn't he one of the founders of the hospital?
Yes. And we used to have that enter that did our surgical, and they went by turns. Dr. Kerr, Bennett Saline. Dr. Kerr, Bennett Saline, and Bean.
Do you know the spellings of any of those?
Yeah, all of them.
Oh, good. Okay.
And they would take their turns. And Weber, I think, came in later.
How do you spell them?
Kerr, K-E-R-R.
Mm-hmm.
B-N-B-E-H-A-N. Bennett. I should know their initials, I don't think. Was R.J. Bean, N.H. Bennett, I think, yeah, Newman Bennett, J.P. Kerr, I think it was John P. Saling, S.A.L.I.N.G., Weber, John Weber, Jr., a senior.
Now
then later you had Dr. Jew.
Uh-huh.
The old man doctor. Now, their grandfather was a doctor.
Three generations
then? Huh?
Was it three generations in their family?
Easy, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, what about these cancer injections now?
I don't remember what they called that cancer injection.
Uh-huh. And who were the doctors involved in that?
Kerr. But Rockman, Dr. Rockman, thank you, dear. God bless you. Dr. Rockman was a pathologist. Dr. R-O-C-K-M-A-N. Oh, Billy.
Oh, thanks.
He was a pathologist for a good many years at our place. Rocked him. He knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. Put down Joe Salmon. Joe, did you put down him?
You talked about him the last time.
Well, he's a saint, so you better put down him.
Okay. Yeah, he's in the other thing.
Uh-huh. I told you about him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that was, I like to write in there about the clinics. You got the clinics in there.
Yeah.
And we used to give Lance and cod liver oil to babies and all that kind of.
The thing about the miners and the J&L workers.
Well, I'll tell you about the miners. We had a convert for the miners, too, Sister Anna Mary. This woman came in. And she wanted a job. And I told Anna Mary about her. At the time, we needed help in the kitchen. She was the wife of a miner. They had five children. And they lived in the house next to the house that we lived in. That's why I told you that lived in that house. Herself and five children became converts to the faith, and she worked for Sister Anna Mary, and she was a Catholic till the day she died. She and her daughter lived across the street before she died. And
what was her name?
That's what I'm trying to think now. I know there's both don't know the name.
Did the companies send the miners steel workers? Did the miners and the steel workers come because the company sent them?
Oh, yes. They were all sent for the company.
Mm-hmm. And then who paid for their hospital stay?
The company. When they said that the hospital said that they didn't get the money. Well, I blame the hospital on a lot of occasions because they protected. Dr. Kerr says, oh, take them in. And I knew something that we weren't going to get paid for. Because it didn't have anything to do with the hospital. You know, I mean, we're far-fetched.
You mean, why didn't you think they were going to get paid?
Well, I didn't think the company was involved.
Oh, I see.
And they all, we thought the company was involved, but they didn't. They were trying to, I think, protect Dr. Kerr. And they didn't want to bother the company.
To
my mind, they should have stopped them from coming in if they didn't want to take them in. But they didn't want to ever stop anybody. Well, they shouldn't have stopped them, but they should have made it known at the time.
Well,
that was a little business transaction.
Yeah, how would that involve Dr. Kerr, though?
Well, he was a surgeon for them. These companies had their own surgeons. And he was a company surgeon.
Oh, I thought he worked for the hospital.
No. All the doctors work for themselves.
Oh, okay. And he was
Their fees were never. The only X-ray man and the pathologist were the only people paid by the hospital.
And
the emergency room later on.
And Dr. Kerr was employed by the company then.
Yeah.
I see.
But he had an office there too. At least he had a girl with a chair and a desk. But he was always one of our first fellows, but they made their living there.
Mm-hmm. Well, are there any things in general about the community that I didn't ask you?
I don't know.
What are some of the changes you've seen?
You mean in reference to what?
No, the way religious life is lived.
Well, I'm not too critical. I agree with changes, see? Mm-hmm. I tell you, towards the end, they brought some people in there, in the volunteer workers and different managers and things like that, and they try to bring in a man that asked to interview me, and it changes, you know, you get a personnel man and all that kind of business. And they went to evaluate the people. Well, a man that was sent to evaluate me knew me 2 weeks. I think I told you about that, did I?
I don't think.
Well, he wanted to give me this was a little bit personal, a mediocre evaluation. And 50, and I said, I'm not taking this. I said, I've been here 50 years, almost 50 years, and why did they keep me if I was only mediocre? So he said, and he tore the paper up that he signed, and he made the marks. And he said, I'll give you another one. So next 2 weeks he gave. Now, he was supposed to be an educated man that came from he had a education on somebody, something else that he got his merit and walked in on, and he was put up high. Okay. And he gave me another paper. And I says, I'll sign it. And he says, well, you better look over. I didn't give you 100% on that one either. He says, I never give you 100%. I says, I don't care what you gave me. I says, just so you put over 50%. And I don't know what he paid to this day, but I didn't care. I was so... Oh, well, and to begin with, it was silly. Mm-hmm. That just shows that the sincerity.
Well, who sent him? Who brought him in?
Well, the new fat... Well, they got highbrow and they brought him in. That's when they started to have Amadeus. They had to have an assistant administrator and a personnel man, and they had to have job specifications. And they were, just like today, they weren't honest, I would say. They weren't sincere. I don't think they're sincere today. Just like now, if they want to, I have a girlfriend now. The child of that girl that used to be at our hospital, she worked 27 years for Mellon Institute, and they fired her, telling her that they're going to discontinue her job. And say a prayer, and the case was come up the 18th of this month, and 2 weeks later they hired a colored girl in her place. Same job. She took it to court. Mm-hmm. So the court was to come up on the 18th of March. They had it for the 5th and they postponed to the 18th. And her mother is a real good girl, 80 years old now, over 7. And you think she was about 76 now, or 70 now at the most. But she was always very, very young looking. And she's supposed to be between St. Joseph's Day and St. Patrick's, so your case ought to. But they got a real expensive lawyer. So I hope she won. She was a real quiet girl, beautiful dresser, neat and clean. And why would they keep her 27 years if she wasn't any good? Why did they have to tell her? Why didn't they tell her the truth and give her some money? Mm-hmm. Mellon, big stuff, money people. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I don't think it. I don't like to be quoted because I love our community. Mm-hmm. But I have to admit, I could see the open politics, but I was too dumb at the beginning to see it.
What are some of your hopes for the future on Reed's life?
Well, I'm hoping that the young people are the brightness of the community. I think they're very prayerful, but I do think they're a little bit, I don't think they have enough culture in them today.
What do you mean by that?
It's not only in dress. The dress adds to it. But I don't go on just dress either. But I think that there, you have to have a little bit of culture to get in any part of the world today. They wouldn't go to Germany. They wouldn't go to see the Pope in what they wear, or they wouldn't sit in front of the Pope with their legs crossed. Why would they sit? I don't care what they think our Lord understands. I don't think that they should sit in any person that they respect in that manner. I think we should be, and I don't think it's because the Lord expects us. We can be just as humble, but I think we represent the Lord. Therefore, I think we should represent a little bit of His simplicity, His serenity, His gentleness, and all those characteristics. But I don't think that He ever went down the street in a garb that wasn't becoming to Him, except the one that they took from Him. How's that for an explanation?
Wow.
See what I mean? And that's the comely thing of today. I could excuse them, but I believe, and I don't see why they, I believe our Lord is up there in the tabernacle. I don't see why they don't believe that. And they do, and to my mind, they wouldn't. Now, this is confidential. This is my real sincere thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I have enough in faith. I think the sisters are that good. Now, don't miss them. I think they have the right intentions. But I don't think it's presented to them in that way. Now, maybe it is and maybe it isn't.
Do you mean the novices?
No, not exactly. Oh, no. Oh, no, not exactly novices. I haven't had enough dealings with the novices. But I don't think any child, they don't come in as young now. They ought to have mature minds. Just like, were you here St. Joseph's Day?
Yes.
Well, I thought the celebration was nice. Everything was nice till about 5 or 10 minutes, I would say, that ruined my hearing of that intensive screaming, and I mean screaming and yelling and whistling in the dining room. I could stay, but I could not stay for that. And I'm not particular. I like a good time. I think you can tell from my I love singing, I love dancing, I love a good time hello, and I can stand a hug and a kiss. I can't stand this rottiness of mature, supposedly mature women. I'm hoping that, and I think it was a little bad example to some of the, a few outsiders that were there. At least, I don't know what they considered, but I don't think it was. Now, I wouldn't criticize. Well, some of our sisters are overcritical. You know what I mean, when they get old. It's like my niece said, well, what did you mention it for? My niece is in the Benedictine.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, what did you mention it for, Aunt Quest, if you didn't bother you? I said, because I had hoped that they were more mature. And she says, well, to tell you the truth, I can tell you the difference. She's in about over 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she could, she plays a guitar and she does, wears pants and all that. But she can see the difference of the next generation coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that the ones that have, just like we were taught, the girls that didn't know any better, they were taught to carry themselves well. I think, I'll tell you the reason too. I'm a little bit sheepish on a caring, on a kind of my polio. I always wanted to carry myself like a gentle lady. I always had that pride, and I never could be. I always wanted to help my mother down the steps because I had a cousin that did that to her mother. I thought that was gorgeous. You know, maybe the poor steps. But, now that's going a little bit. But what I mean is that's going picky-wicky. What do they call it?
Nitpicky?
Nitty-witty, I guess they call it. I don't know what that word is now. We don't use it. And the language. Now, I am very critical in the community, and I gave this out at the meeting. Now, it's glossary at the end of a book. If they don't put that in our holy rule of today or our constitutions, I'll be very, very much disappointed in the hierarchy. Because I think that is as necessary as the constitutions themselves. Because the people, I'd like to put that on real, real strong. The words of the day are so different that I think it should be explained that 1983 we were using the word zeal meant so-and-so. I asked Zeal when I first came down here. The whole group couldn't tell me what the word zeal meant. The next day, I think I told you about this too, the sermon, the priest had it, the retreat master had it. He brought the word zeal in, and every time I used to laugh, you know. But now, see, those words change. And every word now is either wonderful, fantastic. We used to have a girl down the elevator, and she'd say, definitely, definitely. Well, I got so tired hearing definitely, I told her about definitely. Well, that's all. Now, and then we had they built the hospital and then put the addition. Well, then later we had a girl with a switchboard, and we had a girl that really took off the echoing calls, and they had a lot of help. But they needed it because there's a lot of phone calls. But then the switchboard was changed from catty corner, I would say, from where it existed before, just across the hall.
Okay,
and it remained there. When I went in, I told you, I started this.
The one building.
My first office was here, my last office was here.
Oh. You went all the way across the building.
All the way across. It went down to here.
Okay, sure.
And we had the priests, and we had, I don't know all the priests we had, some JT or some, but sacristans could give you the priests. Father Hogan was our first priest.
Father Hogan?
Hogan, when I went there. And he wasn't a well man, but he lived up in 44. That was from the room across from the, and he had a bath, private bath and private room. He lived across from the nursing station. And our nursing stations at first were in the halls. Then they took them all out of the halls. And then they put them back in the halls before I left. So, that's like community stuff here.
Mm-hmm, it is.
See, that's why we always tell you that history repeats itself. We're telling you people, there's so many things that are coming back. Now, years ago, they didn't like the chapter of faults.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't either. I was never... what do you call it, meant by the chapter. I mean, I never sacrificed like some girls suffered from the chapter of faults, but I didn't. I never, I never became involved. They weren't that mean with me, the chapter of faults. And they were becoming mechanical or verbose, whatever you want to say. And I'm going to tell the Mother Superior, she wrote, the last letter she wrote about going on retreat, did you read that one the other day? We got it. That was the best letter she ever wrote. It has about 10 lines. She told exactly what she wanted in the 10 lines. But all that other stuff, it's too much talking. Not to the point. But she went to the point of that. I'm going to tell her.
Okay, can we conclude now?
Yeah, that's all. And anything you want, dear, anything else, contact the hospital if you hear of anything.
I'll ask you. I'll check with you about it.
Who?
If I hear anything I have more questions about, I'll ask
you. Yeah, anything that you want to know, I'll be happy to tell you as far as I can remember.
Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. I think you've got it. And take all that gingerbread out that I told you at the end.
Okay.